Welcome to Postcast. After the Utah Jazz fall to the Sacramento Kings 119-110, what has happened? How concerned should we be? And has the league just fundamentally changed? Those are the things we'll discuss coming up on Postcast. Postcast is brought to you in part by The Store at 6200 South and 20th East. Get all your holiday shopping done there at The Store, plus all sorts of great sweets. The Mudslide Cookie will make you feel better after a Jazz loss. That's what I will tell you. I'm going to go have a Mudslide Cookie right now when I get home.
Yeah, great cookie for Thanksgiving as well, huh?
Well, you know, we had the cake to floors for the Thanksgiving and the June
I think I better go by there and get some of those. I've never had the Mudslide Cookie, and I've heard you talk about them. You're brave about them. So I need to go by there and get me a dozen.
One of the guys.
I eat one cookie. I'm sorry.
You can eat one of these. They're so rich. If you ate a dozen, you would die. Diabetic coma.
I don't want
to
die.
Somebody said to me, are you getting them to take on the road? And I was like, oh, no. I can't have this just sitting in the hotel room. I'd have one at 9. I'd have one at 1. All right, so should we just talk about cookies? Should we just talk about cookies?
Cookies are great. Yeah.
You know, the cake de fleur cakes are great. The pies are, what else? What's your favorite Thanksgiving food, Ron?
Pies and cookies.
I like yams with marshmallows on top.
Yams, I like yams there as well, but to me, it's all about the sweets. You know, turkey. I eat turkey and chicken all the time.
Turkey's basically a sweet.
And mostly fish, but it's all about the sweets for me. Sweet potato pie is my favorite.
Well, you had that at Gus's Fried Chicken.
Gus's Fried Chicken, absolutely.
All right, so here's the deal. We would probably like to just talk about the food because we'll be honest. I think tonight has us both really concerned.
It really does. I think we're kind of getting exposed here for the lack of, and we got to find ways to slow teams down and keep them from shooting such a high percentage. Our defense needs to get better, in other words, and basically it's because of the pace of play that's kind of hurting us.
All right, so the league has changed. The
league has definitely changed.
They talked about the league changing because of freedom of movement, but I don't think that's what it is. Yeah. What's changed in the league is a pace of play commitment from every other team. The three-point shooting's part of it, which is getting – what it's really doing – sorry, my camera is not holding its ground, and there's something I was trying to look at on the screen. What is – the pace of play – there's a pace of play initiative that's taking place here in this league – from all of the teams, and that is, and what that's, and then no one's playing bigs. So then what you're getting is you're getting early offense against a spread floor.
Yes.
And that is creates an incredible need for athleticism and maybe reducing the impact of the rim stopper like Rudy Gobert.
Yeah, reducing the fact and guys that can play with the ball in their hands off the dribble run and create. It's you've covered this for the last 3 or 4 years about how important the three-point field goal is concerned. Now you throw in speed with those three-point looks, and it just – this is what we're getting, high-scoring games. And it's just awfully tough to defend. Especially, it takes away the strength of the Jazz because their strength has been the defense.
Here's something that's really interesting, and I'm going to have to try to do this on the fly, and I'll do it more detailed on Friday on Locked On Jazz. The Jazz have had 7 good defensive games so far this year. Mm-hmm. Okay?
Okay.
Boston, slow pace of play team.
Correct.
About 24th in the league, I think. Memphis, slowest pace play team in the league. Jazz were good defensively. They played well defensively against the Houston Rockets, which are a slow, surprisingly with Mike D'Antoni, slow pace of play team, and they did not have Chris Paul, so they were even slower. The Jazz had a good defensive game against Memphis again. They had a good defensive game against New Orleans, which is a fast pace of play team. They had a good defensive game against Dallas twice, which is a slow pace of play team.
Right.
The Jazz have not had good defensive games against teams that play at a high pace of play, and this is where the game this is how different the game is. Mike D'Antoni, 7 seconds or less, the fastest team that we've ever seen, would be 29th in pace of play today.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Now, that's fascinating. And I'm going to go back a few years. And you know how us old timers always talk about back in the day, you know, when they think things were better. I said they, you heard me say they. We always thought that the defense would break down in 8 seconds. Now these teams are playing faster than 8 seconds in transition. So that's what's so interesting about the way the game is played right now. And that boils down to speed, athleticism, and guys are definitely, you know, there's more players that are better. I'm not saying the players are better now. What I'm saying, there's more of them now, and especially shooting the ball.
I think what's happened here is I think the defense has got too good. Quinn Snyder's of the world built a defense last year. Teams couldn't score on us.
Yeah, they definitely couldn't.
Brad Stevens had a defense people couldn't score on. Defenses in the league, when they got set and they could switch everything like Houston did last year, and they could put a big – 7 of the top 9 defenses in the NBA last year were drop big teams. So now all of a sudden there were 2 different defensive schemes that you couldn't break. One was everybody switches everything. And 2 is if you have a big guy, a Jusuf Nurkić, a Jonas Valanciunas, like Rudy Gobert, you just dropped him in the lane, Marc Gasol, and you can't get to the basket.
Yeah.
So that means you got to spread everyone out. And 2, it means you got to play fast before the defense can get set. And not only did we see Sacramento run down the Jazz throat a bunch of times tonight, but the amount of times like Donovan Mitchell got caught on Marvin Bagley or something of that nature,
right.
Jay Crowder got outrun a bunch of times. Teams do not want to play against a set defense. Here's the crazy thing. I'll have to check it, but going into tonight, the Jazz were the number one team in the NBA at forcing people to play in the half court and still having this problem.
Yeah. It's fascinating, and you just brought up a point there that we discussed a little bit during the course of the game, but how this pace of play and how quickly they want to push the ball over the floor, how often it creates a mismatch. Because you got to pick up guys in speed in your area to keep them from getting all the way to the basket. So automatically, they put you in a tough situation defensively that the Jazz take 6, 7, 8 seconds and a half court offense to do just the same thing. So the transition game for the Sacramento Kings is definitely the strength of their basketball team.
The Kings tonight still played 80% of their possessions in the half court. That's crazy high for them. They're at like 74% coming into the game, I think.
Wow.
And so the Jazz, I'll look it up and I'll have it and empty the noggin. The Jazz, I think, kept Sacramento in the half court at a higher rate than anyone has all year long. And the Jazz did a pretty decent job. They kept them to a point per possession, which is actually probably in about the upper third. But in transition, they got 1.4 points per possession again tonight.
Yeah. That's amazing. I mean, you really have to give Sacramento a lot of credit. They're looking awfully good. They have a ton of athletes, and they should. You know, they've been in the lottery, how many consecutive years, and now they have a ton of athletes. And then they got a good trade out of New Orleans from New Orleans with Buddy Hield. So they surprising teams.
They're good enough that Buddy Hield didn't close for them.
I've noticed that.
He might be our second best player offensively.
And didn't close the ball game. I don't know if it was because that Bogdanović was having a very good night and they played the same position, or he's just not that good of a closer.
Well, concerning. We'll see whether it turns out. Maybe we'll look back on this night like we did in Atlanta, because I'll bet you if you go find postcast last year in Atlanta, we were fully off the cliff.
Yeah.
So we'll see. A lot of emotions after a game. You call a game, get into it. Hopefully it turns out the other way. I'll have Empty the Noggin. I'll have a bunch of those notes we talked about. Thank you very much. Have a wonderful Thanksgiving. One of the things I'll speak for Ron, the most thankful for is your passion, your dedication to this team. It is our honor to bring you the game every night. We hope we have better news for you coming up, and we'll take you through this journey, whatever it might be, for this upcoming season. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Have a happy Thanksgiving.